Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the second part of the laws of the Megillah. This is Simon Kuf Mem Aleph, 141, part 2 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're looking at the laws of Purim. Last time we looked at the laws of Tanis Esther, the laws of the Machzis HaShekel, davening in Shul on the night of Purim, and reading the Megillah. We're going to look at four other concepts today, and they are the Megillah reader, the Megillah parchment, morning davening on Purim, and then walled cities. Let's jump straight in. Our first concept is the Megillah reader. What intent does the reader of the Megillah for other people need to have? So he needs to have the intent to be moitzi, to allow the other people to fulfill their obligation when reading the Megillah. So he needs to not just be reading it nonchalantly for himself, he needs to be doing it with the intention of everybody else being the recipient of this obligation by him doing it. What intent does the listener need to have? So they too also need to listen to every word to be yotze. Let's just clarify that a little bit more. How much can one miss and still be yotze? How much can I hear and then I am still, you know, what's the biggest amount that I can miss and still fulfill my obligation? So the truth is if one misses hearing even one word, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Megillah. This makes it tricky. So that means if one arrives even 10 seconds late, one cannot listen to that Megillah reading and it's not helping, and one has to be careful. Is that really possible? The answer is, of course. One just needs to be careful of a few things. One is being very careful not to nod off. Let's say one is just fast and tired as Esther. One hasn't had a coffee, and one's feeling a little tired. One sits down, and the temperature in the room is somewhat warm. It's easy to nod off. If you nod off for a sentence, you're done. You've lost your obligation of fulfilling the Megillah reading. So one has to be careful. Similarly, one also has to be careful that when the noise that is made around Haman's name is made, that one the reader waits until it's died down to continue, so everybody can really hear every single word as well. Another possibility is for a person to have their own parchment, their own cloth of the Megillah, and to read silently at the same time. So in case they miss a word, they will have at least read it from the parchment itself as well. Now, what if I don't have a Megillah kasher? I do not have a kosher parchment. So if one has a chumash open and reads quietly for word, and one word is missed, one still b'di'eved in a post-facto environment is yotzei, fulfills the obligation. How loud can I read with my chumash or my Megillah open in front of me? So it should not be audible at all. It should only be silently articulated. And the reason is because if it's even somewhat of a whisper, you're going to start hearing yourself instead of the reader, and people around you are certainly going to be able to only hear you, not the reader. It just happens to be that I've noticed that some people just don't know, they don't have the dial called whisper. It's either talk or not talk. And so that's also part of this as well, so it has to be completely inaudible as well. Are there any extras that the Baal Kohen needs to do when he's reading the Megillah? The answer is yes. So first of all, when reading the Megillah at the beginning of the sixth parak, where it says, that night the king's sleep was interrupted, that needs to be done with a raised voice, because that's when the major miracle begins. Also, when he reads Ha'igeres Azois, this letter, he needs to lift or shake the Megillah that he's holding when he's reading it. There's also four psukim of Geula. There's four times where the Megillah identifies a moment of redemption, and they are read aloud by the people in the community. So the Baal Kore, the person reading it, needs to stop, allow you to say it out, and then says it after they finish so we can hear it directly from him as well. And finally, the fourth of the specific interruptions or unique readings is for the 10 signs of Haman. The person who's reading it should read them all in one breath, because they were all killed at one time. What about the community? So some have the practice that the Baal Kore stops, everybody says it in one breath as well. The Kitzur says today he doesn't believe it's necessary to do this, but still that seems to be the general practice today as well. Now, if someone read Megillah for others and was yotze, or read it for himself, can they read it for the people who have not yet heard it? The answer is yes, and in fact, learning how to read the Megillah is an incredible chesed, not just because it's a beautiful thing to know, but because you can read it multiple times for multiple people. Who says the bracha? So, there's three brachas that are said before Megillah and one bracha which is said afterwards. The bracha afterwards is not said when there's no minyan. But the in terms of the brachas beforehand, she'as anisim and she'achyanu can be said by the Baal Kohen, no problem. If the one is already yotzei and one is laning to men and women, then one, the Baal Korah says Al Mikra Megillah. If one is laning only to women, then one says Lishmoa Mikra Megillah instead, because the Chiyuv is different for women, and therefore the Nusach of that bracha will be slightly different as well. We move on to the next concept, which is the Megillah parchment itself. Is a Megillah Muktzah on Shabbos? The answer is no. If Purim is on Sunday, one should just not bring it to Shul on Shabbos, because there's a problem of Erev, carrying Hotzah on Shabbos, and also a problem of Hachana, doing a action on Shabbos for post-Shabbos. What if there's no Baal Koreh who knows the trap, doesn't know the cancellation? So that a person in that kind of situation may read it from the klaf, from the parchment, without the cancellation, as long as the words are pronounced correctly. What happens if that's not possible, and to get all the words right without from a Megillah, because Megillah doesn't have vowels in it? So then it says the Kitzur, it would be better to write in the vowels into the parchment so a person could read it correctly than to read out of a Chumash where one would not be Yotzeh, would not fulfill the obligation. What if the community has a Megillah, but it's missing a few words in the middle? So B'di'evin, in a post-facto situation, if this is the only option, one can be Yotzeh with a Megillah that's missing a few words, as long as it's not missing the first or last section of the Megillah, first or last Pasuk, to be more specific. What if no Megillah is available at all? Then if there's no Megillah available, and this is just the situation, everybody should individually read it from a Chumash, and they should not say any brachas, because that's not fulfilling the obligation of Mikra Megillah. We're going to move into our next concept, which is the morning davening on Purim. When is Megillah read during the day? So here's how it goes. It goes after the repetition of the Shemona Esrei in the morning. One does Chatzi Kaddish, then Kriyas Torah with three aliyahs from the end of Parshas B'Shalach, where Amalek attacks the nation of Israel. Then another Chatzi Kaddish, Megillah reading with its brachas before and afterwards. There's no piyut of Asher Haini like we do at night. After Shoshanas Yaakov, we say Asher Volet Zion, and then a Kaddish Shalem, and continue with davening as well. May I remove Matuna before the Megillah? So in general, one needs to keep the Tuna on until the end of the davening. That's basic respect. But on Purim, it's especially important, because in the Megillah, we recognize a number of things that the nation of Israel had. One of them was Yikar. Yikar refers to Tuna, so one should be saying that when wearing one's Tuna. If there is a bris on Purim, when does it go? So it goes before the Megillah for the similar reason, because La Yodim Aso Ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yikar. Yikar refers to Tvilin, but Sason refers to the Bris Milah. So one should have the Bris Milah done before the Megillah, and therefore as evidence that we just performed this mitzvah by the time you're reading it. What should a person do during the Shiva, God forbid, on Purim? So it's best to have a minion in the house and hear Megillah at the home. If that's not possible, they should daven at home and come to Shul for the Mikra Megillah. What should an Oinein do? Let's say, God forbid, there was a Patira on Erev Purim, on Tanis Esther, and there's going to be a burial on Purim itself. So there's no meat and wine on the night of Purim. That's the general practices of an Oinein. And there's no obligation to have Suda at night. But they should hear a Megillah from somebody else. And the next day after the burial, they should daven and then hear the Megillah read to them. What does an Oinein on Purim do? That's the Patira is on Purim, the burial's the next day. They may eat meat and drink wine, because that is the chi of the obligation of the day. We move to the last concept, and that is walled cities. When do walled cities celebrate Purim? They celebrate on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th. What types of walls? So it needs to be walls from the times of Yoshua ben Nun. The one city we know today, Susa's not doing so well, Shushan's not doing so well today in general under current governance, but Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, is a walled city from the times of Yoshua ben Nun. What about proximate cities? So anything which is within sight is lands on the 15th. So many of the neighboring hilltop communities around Yerushalayim follow Yerushalayim's minag as well. What if the 15th falls on Shabbos? So then we call that Purim Mishulash, a three-day Purim, and that works as follows. On Friday of that constellation, there's Megillah and Matanos Avionim. On Shabbos, there's Al HaNisim said in the davening, there's learning about Purim and a special Maftir and Aftara. And on Sunday is the Su'udah and Mishlach Mona. So it's sort of divided, this extended experience of Purim. And finally, what about places which are doubtfully walled from the times of Yoshua ben Nun? Then they would do both the 14th and the 15th as well, which is less of a concern, generally speaking, today. With this, we end and conclude the very fascinating halachas of the Mikra Megillah. We'll finish up with Matanos Avionim, Mishlach Monos, and Su'udah in the next episode.